For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley with the biggest stories of the day. It's the Big Three at Three. Number one.
All right, a lot going on here with the Astros and the Texans, and a big weekend series for the Astros kicking off, and obviously the game tomorrow with the Texans. But the Astros got it going in a big way. We said this is going to be a big four-game set because this is a really, really good baseball team. This is one of the best baseball teams in the league. They have been playing at this level for most of the season. And that lineup, I know that's what you were saying yesterday, and Spencer Arrighetti is one of the guys you wanted to see how he plays against this lineup, which is top five everywhere. And he beat the brakes off of them, blanked them. 6-0 yesterday, Clint. And they get themselves 11 games over 500. Big games, and it's not really the big guys, Clint. It was the bottom of the order. The newcomer, Ben Gamel, comes up with two big two-out hits, two-out singles where he drove in runs. And they win 6-0. It was kind of methodical. Wasn't like a lot of, you know, big home runs or big innings like that. Methodical win as they got there. But Spencer Arrighetti, the story, 6 innings, 3 hits, no runs. And this is now becoming a real sample size, Clint, because he's done this. I mean, we're rolling over a month now. He's been pitching like this.
Yeah, the last start I think wasn't ideal. His previous start I think wasn't ideal, but it's hard to hold that against him when he's been so good otherwise of late. So look, man, if Spencer Arrighetti is dealing, I become really, really confident in this rotation. I feel like I've done this before and it's bit me in the ass, but I feel like Hunter Brown is here to stay. I feel like Hunter Brown is going to be a part of the rotation any way you slice it. I think what we're seeing from him is real. Ronel Blanco, a little concerned about the load managing aspect of it, but I feel like we know what we're going to get out of Ronel Blanco. Obviously, Fromber and JV, any way you slice it, you're comfortable with those two guys. Man, you get down to Spencer Arrighetti and the thought that, man, this is the only guy that I'm worried about. Can he hang on? Is the workload going to be too much? And you know, can he get through a really good lineup 3 times? And what does it look like when the scouting report is out on this guy? And it's not just a flash in the pan scouting report. They've actually got multiple starts throughout a season to scout this guy. And Ron, he just continues to get better. He just continues to go out and give this team a chance to win. And as I said yesterday, my eyes are on Spencer Arrighetti, Hunter Brown, and Kikuchi. Those three guys right there against this lineup at this point in the season, August the 23rd, if those guys continue to deal and those guys, they add the Orioles notch to their belt at this point in the season, I think they take a huge step in from a confidence perspective of being a deep six-man rotation that is as good as any in the league right now.
Yeah, he's been impressive, and he's kind of changed the thing a bit. And I mean, the thing that was impressive about him last night is, you know, we've seen Spencer Arrighetti where he strikes out 13, strikes out 12, and his stuff is consistently nasty. Last night, I mean, he did that, and he was kind of trying to find his control, find his good stuff. He didn't have his good stuff yesterday, and for him to still be able to pitch that way was really, really impressive. Yeah. So big for him and big for the Astros as they get that W. They'll try to go tonight. You talked about Hunter Brown. He's going to get the ball tonight And they, by the way, they did that against their ace, Corbin Burnson, who won a Cy Young with the Brewers before and started the All-Star game for the American League this year. And they knocked him out of the game. So he wins that battle against that team's ace, which was impressive. All right. To add to this, yesterday during the game, Ken Rosenthal of Fox had comments about Alex Bregman, who we know, as he said, playing in the field is a fluid situation. Here was what Ken Rosenthal had to say about what he's hearing about the Alex Bregman situation.
Well, it's interesting, Kenny. The plan is as soon as tomorrow for Alex Bregman to do something that he has never done in his professional or collegiate career, and that is play first base. Bregman took grounders at first today without throwing. He's going to continue to play third as well, depending upon how he is feeling. The Astros want him in the field as much as possible so that they can DH Yordan Alvarez and not play him in left field.
All right. So he talked about potentially him playing in the field, potentially him playing first base. He even said third base there. And by the way, we've talked about this. We probably want to listen to reporters and take their reporting a little bit more than what we hear from the Astros.
Absolutely. Are you kidding me?
Chandler Rome, now Ken Rosenthal, it seems like those guys are a little bit closer than what we hear.
Look, Adam Spolane, we're in here talking about, well, might get to see him this week. Adam Spolane said, hell, you might. I saw him in the locker room. That limp, he ain't. So the Adam Spolanes, Chandler Rome.
That was like a month ago.
No, every bit of a month.
He was serious.
Every bit of a month. Yeah, Chandler Rome. And how he saw the Bregman thing working out, played out exactly like he said it was going to play out. And now Ken Rosenthal, I don't care if they're local or they're national, man. I put a lot more stock in what they say than anything that comes out of the Astros organization.
Well, Byron and Clint, the lineup's out.
Mm-hmm.
And Alex Bregman's playing third base tonight.
Playing third. There you go. You and old Tyler can relax a bit, man. He's playing third.
Oh, I'm not relaxing.
What do you mean you're not relaxing?
We'll see.
He's gonna have a record ground balls hit his way. Right?
Oh, they're gonna. I would bunt. If I were not Gunnar Henderson or any of those, Santander. I would test him.
Yeah.
I would test him. I would bunt. I would test him. Listen, I don't know, man. I hope he's good. We went from sitting for five straight days, still swollen, to gremlins being in there. To, hey, man, he's going to take ground balls at first base. He's been the DH too. Oh, he's ready to play third base again. They said it was a fluid situation. So I hope he's good. I hope he's good there. I gotta
believe that there is something from the doctors. And I mean, not just something from the team doc, the team trainers. I'm talking team doc. I'm talking second opinion from Bregman. The fact that this is a contract year for him, he'd be crazy if he's not second opinion in this thing to death.
Yes.
I've got to believe that the risk associated with him playing third base is so minimal at this point in time. Could it swell? Sure. But the thought of is playing third base. Is it much more likely that playing third base versus first base puts him in a situation where we lose the glove, obviously, at third, and the bat at the plate where it's a season-ending injury? I've got to believe, given that he's playing third base today, that report from all of the doctors is, if there's any risk, it's extremely minimal. And what you do risk is the swelling in the elbow that he's already experienced. And even if it does get worse, rest is going to allow him to swing the bat and still be himself at the plate. I got to believe that this is a well-informed decision to put him back at third base.
I hope so. I hope he is good. It's just, as someone just texted in, and you think they're trying to screw with people. No, I don't think they're trying to screw with people. I'm just saying in the course of since last Friday, it's gone from, just need a couple of days off, to, hey, I need two more days off, to we're going to make – he comes out and says it's a fluid situation, and then abruptly he's taking ground balls at first base. And that's potentially where they're going to play him defensively, to, oh, nope, third base. So hope so. Hope he's good. As you said, you know, you want to be able to have him at the plate and have him be able to be on the field to at least be able to swing the bat in some capacity if he has to beat the DH. We'll see. So that is the latest with Alex Bregman. He is back at third base today and will play there in Baltimore against the Orioles.
Big 3-3, number 2.
All right, last night, Clint, we know that we'd be shocked if CJ played tomorrow, but Anthony Richardson, they had already announced prior to the game yesterday, and that's the opponent for the Texans, that he was going to get some action in their final preseason game. Well, Clint, he played five series, went 8-for-14 for 86 yards, threw a touchdown, and had a pick in the game as well, a pick six. Bad one. Shane Steichen said it was a miscommunication, whatever it was. That's a mistake you can't make. And only rushed for 3 yards, obviously. They weren't using that as a part of the game plan. But Shane Steichen said Anthony Richardson will be awesome and fun to watch this season. I would agree with that if he's going to play. He'll be interesting and fun to watch. But 8-for-14, 86 yards. It looks like he's going to be ready to go for the Texans in week one. And he's going to be, I think he is the real wild card of this entire division.
Hey, there's no doubt. Hell, you can argue he's the real wild card of the entire league right now in terms of other than the rookies, obviously, are wild cards all over the place. But guys that have been in the league for a year, guys that, okay, it's your turn, the expectations are, you're with an organization that expects to win the division, to make a run to the playoffs. They won 10 games last year. This is definitely a real wild card. It was interesting last night on the broadcast. I think it was Kirk Herbstreit actually brought up, which I'm lacking context in why it was brought up, so I reserve judgment on Kirk Herbstreit or anybody involved. But the conversation was had of an Anthony Richardson. If he doesn't play extremely well in the first month of the season, they have Joe Flacco now. And after Joe Flacco did what he did last year in the absence for Cleveland, in the absence of Deshaun Watson, and kind of shored up their quarterback issue as they went through everybody they had on the roster, they bring him in, he plays well. If that could end up being a quarterback controversy, I don't think it ever happens, guys. Anthony Richardson would have to be absolutely awful for you to even be able to justify turning to Joe Flacco. So I thought that was interesting at that point in time, this early in the season. Hell, it's preseason, to have that conversation. I think Anthony Richardson is going to be fine. I think him and Shane Steichen, Anthony Richardson, Shane Steichen, I know it didn't work out really well last year given the injuries, but Anthony Richardson and Shane Steichen are as good a fit.
On the surface, it looks like.
I was going with Cliff Kingsbury and Kyler Murray.
Oh, Kyler.
You know, when like that. Well, that was my point. That was an organization that hired a coach to specifically put with a number one draft pick quarterback, and that was the thought, the method to the madness, if you will. And while it didn't end up working out for the Arizona Cardinals overall, it definitely worked out because they believe they got their guy. They believe they got their quarterback so much they gave him a second contract. So clearly it worked out well for them from that perspective. The Shane Steichen, Anthony Richardson connection there with hiring Shane last year, drafting Anthony Richardson, boy, it sure looks like it's going to be a really, really good fit. The injuries last year kept us from learning whether it will be or not. This year should be fun to watch, with the exception of, if they're too damn good, we got to play them twice.
It is one to watch. If you watch some of that game, and you know, I knew he was going to play a little bit, so you checked in on that. He's like, it's just going to take reps, I would guess, Clint. I mean, he still has times where he just doesn't put the ball. Like, I think you've talked about it, the easy things that CJ is able to do in terms of putting the ball where he wants to put it, and where receivers want to get it, is so much easier for him than what it is for Anthony. Still see the misses there, where even if balls that are caught are still not put in a spot where he could turn it up and go up and get more yards, they've got to, you know, adjust to catch the ball. And then he just has plain misses sometimes. So I know for the Texans, hopefully that's something that you continue to see to start this up.
Yeah, he continues to, you know, if he kills drives with inaccuracies, yep, or if you know, the inability to give a pass catcher the ability to run after the catch. If you make him stop his feet, throw it behind him, throw it in his body, sometimes obviously that's doing a big favor to the defense. And Anthony's just going to have to play football. He hadn't played a lot of football, guys. I mean, he didn't play a ton of football at Florida, and when he did at Florida, it was as dysfunctional as you could be in college football on the offensive side of the ball for them. And he got injured last year. He has not played a lot of football. And so I think as the game slows down for him mentally, and that will result in the game coming to him a lot easier, the throws being a lot easier, him being able to focus on making the throw versus everything appearing to be in fast forward, if you will. So I think Anthony Richardson will be fine. The question with him is, can he stay healthy?
Number 3.
All right, I know you're ready. Tomorrow, 11 o'clock, college football kicks off in Dublin, Florida State, who feels like they may have got screwed last year. Florida State and Georgia Tech get going in Ireland, and that's the big matchup tomorrow. Week zero, is that what they call it? Week zero tomorrow. Florida State's an interesting team to me because I got to believe them, that coaching staff, they got to be a bit on a mission, as they probably feel like they got hosed last year, and not getting into the playoff, even though they went unbeaten and won the ACC. So they're going to be an interesting team. Got a new quarterback. Isn't that where DJU is?
DJ Ungalele, is that right? DJU that was at Clemson, went to Oregon State, and now he's at Florida State. Interesting. He's back in the ACC. With Clemson, that's going to be a hell of a matchup. I think with Florida State, the other thing about that matchup too is Haynes King is the one at Georgia Tech. So you've got some Texas ties there. I think he was a Texas high school football kid. I think he was the son of a Texas high school coach, I believe. Went to A&M again in the middle of that dysfunction. Ended up at Georgia Tech, and this is a big year for him. And they expected Georgia Tech to be better, I believe. But you look at Florida State, you lost Jordan Travis, who was a big-time leader and a really, really, really good dual-threat quarterback. Wouldn't surprise me if down the road in 3 or 4 years you didn't hear from Jordan Travis surfacing as one of the better quarterbacks to come out of this year's draft. And then you look at the two guys that the Texans just saw in L.A. that were first and second-round picks. Off of the same defensive line, Jared Verse, the defensive end, and Braden Fisk,
and they lose their back too. They lost that really talented running back they had. I think he went in the draft.
Yeah, they may have. They lost quite a bit is the point, and so we'll see it. We'll see what that looks like. But like you said, Mike Norvell has Florida State as hot as anybody out there, and they feel really good about their team. So we'll see if DJU can turn it around, have his best year at Florida State. Got plenty of motivation. That should be a fun watch. If Florida State starts rattling off some wins and is as good as folks think they should be, the DJU story will take over college football.
Yeah. Trey Benson. Thank you, Byron.
There you go.
That's
the back. Absolutely.
Yep, he was a big time.
Who's he running for? I saw him running in a preseason already.
Cardinals.
There you go.
What the hell's going on with Byron? Are you a real Trey Benson fan or something?
Oh no, he's one like the handcuff players for fantasy this year in case something happens to James Conner. So yeah, I know the name.
Oh man, he's in my ear. I said, I think Benson. Trey Benson. Cardinals. Are you a Florida State guy? All right. Listen, one of the biggest offseason guys that the Texans were able to bring in is Joe Mixon. I think we heard it from CJ and we heard it from D'Amico. Seeing where his impact could really, really, really come to pass right here for the Texans coming up on their offense. We'll discuss.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Just that coming up. All right, welcome back in to The Drive. Byron is in as Tyler is out today. Clint's in the building. Someone texted in, wait, something happened to Breckman's elbow? Yeah. What'd you say?
I wish I was living that life.
Oh, that you just, like, what, just came up? Like, what?
Wait, what? 5 days ago, Bregman, or 6 days ago, 8 days ago, Bregman had an elbow issue? What happened?
You think that person's aware of Tucker being?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, it's been 2 months, man, 2+ months. Yeah.
Well, no. Hey, man, we're heading to 3. It's August 23rd, Jack. We're heading to 3. By the way, if you missed that, Dana Brown said expects to have Kyle Tucker back first week of September.
King Tuck.
He couldn't leave it either. He said early September. First week of September. Yeah,
the early
August
September
31st. Right? I thought you were going to say August 31st, maybe. Maybe that's it. All right. But the Texans, they're getting closer and closer after tomorrow. Hopefully they get through that. Everybody's healthy. They got to figure out the cut situation. But then it is then go time. September 8th, they take on the Indianapolis Colts in Indy to kick what many hope and what many believe could be a season we don't forget. And I think one of the big aspects to Joe Mixon's game is obviously not just his ability to run the football, his toughness. As I think you've said it, I heard Seth saying it before, he just looks and feels different than any other back that they have in the fold there. But his ability to catch the ball out of the backfield, Clint, especially as we're looking, as it seems like at the very least right now, this offensive line is, in terms of run blocking, is a work in progress, something that you're hoping improves as the season. His impact may be in the passing game from the running back position, as you've talked about all the space that these guys on the outside may give up in the middle of the field. This could be how he impacts this team the most. And C.J. Stroud, his quarterback, talked about his ability to be a pass catcher as a running back.
First of all, he's a great guy, somebody who loves ball, and he runs the ball really hard. He has crazy cuts and some things that I haven't seen in a long time. You know, it's just he runs the ball very hard, and then you have a guy like DP who comes in behind him and does a lot of special things too. But, you know, everybody knows how special he is in every aspect, you know, so he's a great player.
All right, that's him talking about Joe Mixon. But as we saw it yesterday, he had a wheel route, Clint, that he called up the sideline. Him in the passing game is going to be something that they're going to have to potentially lean on moving forward. But Clint, that could be how he impacts this offense, at least early. That could be how he impacts this offense.
Oh, look, I would say it's the way in which he impacts this offense that I'm more confident about. The O-line up front, I do think that Joe Mixon is going to be a better runner regardless of what goes on up front than anybody that we've seen in a Texans uniform in this system, right? I think he has the ability to make people miss. He has the ability and the experience to know how to hug the inside of a crease that's being creative versus run up the backside of an offensive lineman. He's got the ability to do those things. So this offense, regardless of what goes on up front, he's going to make this system better. He's going to make this team better in a run game. But to what degree, I'm not comfortable even discussing it, to be honest with you, at this point in time. When we start talking about him in the pass game, whether it's C.J. Stroud getting through his progression and checking it down to him and then him being that athlete in space, or it's Bobby Slowick actually scheming up and dialing up the throws for the running back. Look, we didn't necessarily see this offense feature a running back last year, but this offense, if you look around the league, this offense features Christian McCaffrey in the run game and the pass game. And in the past, has before Christian McCaffrey, had Deebo Samuel in the run game and the pass game. So this offense and Bobby Slowick doesn't lack in any way, shape, or form the ability to go out and feature a running back in the pass game. You look at the way Aaron Jones was in that Green Bay offense, and you move up to Miami, and you look at Raheem Mostert and those guys in Miami, and the old Aggie A-Chain who's coming. I mean, there's just there is no lack in this system that Bobby Slowick's running. It's one of the better systems, I would say, to feature a running back. Not just have him that where he's a check down and you got to get through five other pass catchers before you get to that wide receiver in the progression. No, I'm talking about where he's either one or two, and sometimes he's even the shot you're trying to take if you get the right look. I'm very, very confident that Joe Mixon will be used in a big way in the pass game. And like I said, I am more confident that he is going to have a big impact in the pass game, or a big impact on this offense by what he does in the pass game. I'm more confident in that than what necessarily this run game is going to look like.
Yeah, and that's why I think his impact may come. And Clint, like, you can give those examples, but the example that of what he just came from is exactly, I mean, he's got the receivers on the outside, and, you know, Zach Taylor comes from that tree too, but he has the receivers on the outside that created so much. And Joe and CJ are very similar type players. Like it was the same thing, Clint. They'd run those guys off, and you could tell Joe was going to Mixon the entire time to create that matchup that he was looking for the entire time. Once he ran the rest of the defense off with Chase or Higgins or whoever else, so. It won't be very different for him. This is exactly a similar type of an offense with similar weapons around him to be able to create the space in the pass game for him.
Yeah, I could, Ron, I could very easily see 500 yards on a season. I could very easily see 400 or 500 yards in the mix for him. Is he going to get there just being a check down guy? No, he's not going to get there being a check down guy. But is he going to get there as a featured pass catcher in this offense? Yeah, I think he could put up some big numbers. And we've seen it, as you said, we've seen him do it in the past. There's no reason to think that if the run game isn't hit, look, if the run game's hitting on all cylinders, and again, I don't care what the box score says. I don't care what Joe Mixon's final numbers are at the end of the season. But if it's hitting on all cylinders and it is a complimentary to one of the best pass games in the league, then I don't care if he ever catches the ball. But when things get bogged down, the one big difference I think this year, between this year and last year, is you're going to have a guy that can be featured in the pass game, not just desert the run and his touches go out the window.
Clint, they may have to move to a deal of like, hey, this is an extension of our run game. Something just getting the ball out to him quick. And he's in space or something like that. The Patriots have absolutely lived in doing that when Tom Brady was there, where not necessarily it was handoffs to White, but it was short passes to him. All right, as college football gets near, there's a coach that when you look at his resume, you say hot seat. You're like, what? But should he be on the hot seat? And a little what you're watching, text in what you're watching, 713-572-4610. Those of you on YouTube and Twitch as well. But before we get there, all right, welcome back into the drive as we continue to get going here. We talked about it earlier, Clint. College football starts tomorrow, and I'm watching the stuff. You know, you get all the stuff before the season starts, and like this Ryan Day thing, Ryan Day being on the hot seat. I mean, I know, I understand that sports and college football have changed a bit, but my goodness, Clint, Ryan Day has been there 5 years. He is 56-8. He's won 11 games the last, he's gone 11-2 the last 3 years. The year before that, he made it to the college football championship game and won a Big Ten title. 13-1 his first year. Isn't it? He's on the hot seat?
He's
on the hot seat. You think that's fair?
Well, fair or foul, it doesn't matter. I mean, that
or real.
That,
I mean,
I think it's real, absolutely. I mean, if you can't, that is just a school where if you can't, if you're at Michigan and you can't beat Ohio State, nothing else matters. If you're at Ohio State and you can't beat Michigan, nothing else matters.
But they gave Jim 9 years.
No. Look, I mean, you're going to be thought of as a guy that could be bounced at any point in time, which is where Ryan Day's at. Whether he is or he isn't is irrelevant at this point in time. Every year until you get over that hump, And I think, hell, I mean, just like literally a tick below winning a national title is beating Michigan.
Yeah.
If you're at Ohio State. So, yeah, I think it's real. I do. I think it's real. I mean, I think there's a, I don't think it's fair at all. I think he's a good coach, but I think it's real.
I mean, that I'm looking at that. I'm like, this guy's won 11 games.
That's going to be Texas, Texas A&M. You let one of those teams.
That's
do,
what I'm thinking about that. Those two. Their standards haven't been up to that. Now, I know Tyler will be mad, but I don't think A&M standards should be to that point. But I mean, if you think about what they let Jimbo do before they finally, yep, before he got on the hot seat.
Jimbo would have been fired 2 years ago if he was playing Texas year and you're out and losing that game.
Yeah. You think so?
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. Really? Yeah. Absolutely.
So you think that is what
that's coming.
Elko and what
that's
and,
coming.
And what Sark is looking at. If Sark loses and Sark has just gone to the playoff, they are in what, a preseason top 14.
Yeah.
They lose to A&M the next couple of years, and they don't win a title.
You lose back to back years to A&M in the first year. Absolutely, 100%.
Good God.
Yes. Now the only thing that changes for me in this conversation is
the playoff thing.
Is the expanded playoffs, and so you're still you can consistently lose to one or the other and play really good football outside of that, and you ultimately, you're still getting in the college football playoff. But, yeah, you get in that college football playoff. Now, even now that it's expanded, you get in that college football playoff and you have an early exit year after year, and then your 2-3 years, you're not beating Texas or vice versa. Texas ain't beating Texas A&M. Absolutely. Without a doubt.
That is insane.
Winning 10 or 11 ain't going
to
be enough.
I guess that maybe comes from because I'm a fan of a team that, man, just get me to –
You too?
Just get me to 7. Sale 7. Let me get. I was 2 years ago. I was give me the 5.
Hey, I just want a bowl game, baby. I want a chance to go.
I
party.
Had just gotten to give me a bowl game last year. I just that is wild to me. I guess the Michigan thing is 5 years, man. That like someone texted in. Yeah, they've hired Chip Kelly behind Ryan Day, and he needs to be careful. But if he beats Michigan this year, now he's completely off the hot seat.
You betcha. You betcha. Beat Michigan, you're gonna be in the college football playoff. Definitely with an expanded playoff, you're gonna be in that. You'll be fine.
That's nuts. Like you have like the way that the rate that he's been winning, like the Michigan thing has to come because he has beaten Michigan. I mean, it's like he has beaten them. His first 2 years, he was owning it. The last 3 years, Jim has they've had better teams and they've been able to win. But like the route he's winning 56-8, like we gotta go a decade before we start talking. All right, now we're just bumping our heads up against Michigan. Now you're on the hot seat. Not 5 years.
Well, I mean,
five years. And same thing as you just talked about with Sark. Like damn man, y'all in the college and not this new playoff. Y'all made it when it was 4.
Well, you go out there. Here's the thing, though. Is again, I don't think it's fair, but I think it is real. You know, you had C.J. Stroud. You had what's my man's Marvin Harrison Jr. And you still couldn't beat him. So yeah, I mean, I just think, man, in this era of college football, man, especially those top 10 schools, man, they ain't. They ain't gonna let that stuff slide.
I guess Dabo better get.
That's an interesting one there.
Is it because he's won already and he won there at a place that wasn't? Because Ohio State obviously is a power, and this is absolutely the best or the most known Clemson has ever been during this.
Well, bro, there was a time a couple of years back where you could say Clemson was the most impressive program in all of college football with the Deshaun Watson handing the baton off to Trevor Lawrence and those runs they were making. There was conversations about has Dabo Sweeney and Clemson taken over Alabama and Saban as the top program, the standard in college football. Here's the thing with Clemson to me at this point is this is Dabo's last leg. He's on his last leg and he is really leaning into this whole, we're gonna keep this thing. We're gonna recruit. We're going to recruit. We're going to develop. We're not going to do the transfer portal thing. We're not going to lose guys, and we're not going to go. We're not going to replenish our entire roster with 20 new transfer portal guys and pay them a bunch of money. We're just not going to do it. If he doesn't win this year, he will be the number one coach on the hot seat. Because if this approach, absolutely, Florida State is transfer portal king. Ole Miss is transfer portal king. The expanded playoffs are happening now, so more teams have a shot. We're watching teams just look at the ACC. They went out and they got Cam Ward. They got one of the top quarterbacks this year. Paid him a boatload of money to do it. If he goes out there and he gets beat by Florida State, who we just mentioned, DJU is at Florida State now, transfer portal kid, and Florida State was they crushed the transfer portal last year. You look up and now Cam Ward's at Miami. If Miami messes around and beats Clemson, like the powers that be in Clemson aren't going to believe in what Dabo Swinney's doing, because it's so different than everybody else. And if you don't win, if you don't beat the guys that are doing it differently, that are out there pursuing the hell and embracing the transfer portal, if those teams are now beating you, And your approach doesn't look like it's going to be very promising, I think Dabo Swinney's going to get booted up out of there.
That'd be crazy. If Ryan Day is up here on the hot seat like this, and I know Dabo's won multiple championships, but that's the case. Hell, I guess anybody can be right now. Good God almighty. All right, but college football getting going, and your ass better beat Michigan this year.
Mm-hmm.
I know that, but it's just because he's 11-2. 11-1 going into that game ain't enough. Your ass better beat Michigan. All right. 713-572-4610. Those of you on YouTube and Twitch, you can jump in on this. Text in what you're watching. What shows are you watching? Tonight is a big Dateline night for me. And I'm gonna bang me out some. I think it's new tonight too, as well as that they've been off a little bit. I've been having to watch some of these Datelines that I have already memorized, been showing these replays of these ones I've already seen before. I need some brand new joints right there. But Bad Monkey.
Bad Monkey.
That's the name of it. Calm down.
Good Kikuchi. Huh? What is that? Is Bad Monkey a new picture?
Vince Vaughn. It's a show. Vince Vaughn on Apple. Hey, I had to check it out. First episode. Pretty strong. I enjoy it. I like Vince Vaughn because he's playing kind of a mix between the funny and serious role, which I think he can slide right between. Vince is one of my favorites. Like his facials, his facial reactions and stuff that he makes. It's pretty good.
Vince is one of the silly guys, or guys that can be silly that I don't just tolerate. I really like him. Like, he's one that I can really get. Like, I can.
Yo, you enjoyed the breakup when we made you watch that and him in that. Yeah.
I can look forward to, whether it's a good movie or not, if Vince Vaughn's in it, he's one that I can get good and jacked up about. Like, I can get excited about that. And then you put a title on it like Bad Monkey. Yeah, I'm in on that deal.
What's the one you said you started?
Tropo. I finished it. TROPPO.
Tropo.
It's interesting. It's a good little, I wouldn't write home about it. I wouldn't make it a point to watch it. But if you are really hard up for something to kind of get into and you need something to chew up a few hours in the evening, if you like to decompress with your toes up and watching a show and always having something there at your fingertips, there's two seasons worth, and it's a decent little watch. It's a decent little watch. I thought it was good.
Everybody keeps telling me to start Your Honor. And
ooh, you ain't seen Your Honor?
And I think that's after Dateline tonight, I think I'm gonna move to Your Honor.
Boy, you could. There's
Courtney
very.
Courtney started and said she had to stop after the first episode. I think she had to chill a little bit. Had to stop at the first episode. She says she didn't start at Your Honor.
Your Honor's a good one, man. That is a. I don't remember all the details. It's been a while, but that was one that
it was out on Showtime first, I believe, and now it's gotten to Netflix, and now it's like one of the top things people are talking about.
Yeah, whatever it was on before, boy, I binge watched it. Well, you know, it's the old dude from, I think, Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's the dad, or he's the judge. He's the dad. Yeah. So I mean, that's is there two seasons of that?
I'm not sure. I heard it was. Yeah, but I've heard
it's good. It's good. That's a good one.
That is a good one.
Now there's if I remember correctly, there's some parts of the plot that are a little tough to swallow.
You gotta be aggressive.
Yeah. I mean, it's a little shaky at times. you'll see. You'll know what I'm talking about. It's one of them that you'll know about. Brad
texted in, got to watch the new Untold Netflix on Steve McNair.
I hadn't watched it.
I've heard people said it was terrible. Brandon Scott did a whole podcast on it.
Really?
And said it was terrible.
I saw when you click on it, it shows you a little preview, a little trailer or whatever. It's an interesting watch for me because I don't recall the boyfriend. Like I don't recall the footage of the boyfriend being interrogated so much. So that's new to me.
See, the thing people keep telling me is this thing is it's as much about the Oilers' move from Houston to Tennessee, and then that's how someone described it. It's about the Oilers' move to Tennessee, and Steve McNair was murdered.
Yeah.
So, because I was intrigued. Well, that would be a buzzkill
if we're watching the Oilers bounce out of town for three episodes before we get to what the hell's going on.
I do got to see that. I've seen it. But
it's a 1-hour documentary.
I mean, Brandon Scott. He did a full doc. He did a podcast on how bad.
If it's not any good, man, that'll be a buzzkill.
That's a story I don't know a lot about.
Yeah.
I remember being like, what
I've
the
watched
hell?
Special. I've watched specials on it.
I haven't seen any specials on it.
I've watched specials on it before, but there was no, because the girl killed herself.
Yeah.
I haven't seen all the footage of the investigation and the interrogation of the others that could potentially be involved or that may thought to have been involved. I hadn't seen that, so that'd be a whole different side of it for me. So I'm interested in it. But hell, if it's 30 minutes of the Oilers bouncing out of Houston, hell, I don't know that I really want to watch it either, B. Scott, be honest with you.
What you got coming up?
Well, there's a Texans player that is on a short list of potential trade bait, if you will, potential trades out of Houston. And Houston is a good enough team right now or is a really good football team right now where most of their tradable players, they're not going to trade them because they want them. They need them. But there is one guy out there that could potentially fetch a little something, and it would probably be a solid if the Texans were able to move on from him and move him wherever he wanted to move. I'll tell you who that is. We'll discuss.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.